says recording.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Faith, for our next episode of Sisterhood Smarts.
Hey.
And the agreement series. How are you, Faith?
I'm good. I'm good. Good. Yeah. How are you?
I am well. I had a nice, lovely weekend gardening.
Nice. Me too. I've been doing that for the better half of the day.
I'm kind of feeling it today with a little bit of soreness and tired, but it's so rewarding to do it. I just love it.
It is so rewarding, especially, you know, when you start something and you're like, oh, I want to see if it will take. And then you see this beautiful bush, like, you know, I'm just looking at some of the things I put like maybe, you know, a year ago, and it's now like a beautiful, you know, nice gooseberry bush, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's when the reward comes. It doesn't come overnight.
Yeah, I know. And or you have the weeds that come up and you're like, oh, darn it. But yeah. So, you know, I was thinking about the agreement series, and we've talked about so many fantastic things. And I thought it'd be really good that we, you know, sort of kind of take the focus off of us a little bit in terms of, you know, doing the self-care and, you know, not taking things personally. But it's also really important to, you know, look out for others and be there for people. We know that, you know, this past year has been horribly challenging. And we've seen a lot of mental health crises and issues that continue to, they're pervasive in our local and global community. And I thought it'd be important to discuss, you know, how do we take care of ourselves, but how do we also healthy, take care of others? So, you know, look after others. So that's kind of where I was thinking it'd be a great topic to discuss today.
Absolutely love it. And you're so right, because, you know, it's actually so interesting. And some people say, Faith, you make it sound so simple, but it really is that simple. When you take care of others, you take care of yourself. You know, when people are happy, when they're at peace, when they're, you know, when you've eased some of their maybe workload or stress, it will come back to you. Like, it has to, you know. And so I think this is a really good topic, actually, because, you know, we were talking with Sonia when we did the interview with Sonia, and we were talking about when things get tough, most people sometimes, they resort to, let me take care of myself first, you know, more than me. But that's actually the time you should do the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you think, oh, my God, you know, security and you know the jobs, the market is looking so weird, let me just save and hoard. No, that's actually when you should give, because there's a science to this. I don't want to go too much into it, but you're very right that when you say we need to care for others, when you can't predict the next step, when you can't predict the future, when things are uncertain, you don't know left from right, there's so much confusion and information, you know, all that stuff going on. We all know what's going on. So what people are doing sometimes, maybe out of fear or, you know, real life situations, you know, because we know it's hard and different parts of the world have different degrees of, you know, challenges, right? And so when you're in that environment, it's actually more important for you to take care of others. It's even more important for you to share that, those extra, you know, tomatoes in your garden than to keep it for a rainy day. It's really weird. It's a weird science, because, you know, survival, what we're taught is, you know, when I hear people talking about survival and, you know, how human beings behave in terms of survival, I'm actually like, that's wrong. That's actually the time when you should come together, not the time when you should start, you know, pickling everything. And, you know, and I was actually looking at your situation with the gas in the US. And I was thinking, you know why so many people don't have gas? Because the ones who got scared and fearful and brain went straight on survival mode took all the gas. And so that situation would never have reached that point if you were thinking of others, if you were caring for others, because you'd have just filled in your tank as you do every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe every day you don't fill up your tank, you just fill it up, maybe half tank or whatever your habit was. You don't have to change it. Just do what you do and go about your business. There would not have been a shortage. Not to the degree that it was, because, you know, I was talking to some of my friends in the US and they were like, yeah, people were taking gallons and storing in their garage.
Yeah.
So it's those gallons that people are storing that maybe someone can't even get to work or to school,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then now you're actually creating a shortage. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It's so important what you said. Care for others. Yeah. Don't do what is what you think. Take a back seat and then think, okay, what does this mean? I have a full tank. My neighbor's tank is empty. What if I have 3/4 of a tank? It's not going to harm me. Half a tank and they have another half. Like, just to always take a back seat and then just think, because a lot of shortages, a lot of things are created by not caring for others. It's that selfish me, myself. And I've noticed, Penny, I don't know if you've noticed this, that there's a lot of selfish ideologies being marketed as, mm-hmm. you know, self-help and, you know, put the mask on yourself first and, you know, take care of yourself before you take care of others. But when I hear some people talking about this, I don't hear the after. Like, put the mask on yourself and then make sure everyone around you has a mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It stops in that individualistic mindset. Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You come first. But in reality, if you had a car accident, you don't have the energy to put on your mask. You want somebody to care for you. So they don't add that little, you know, in an equation, there's that missing figure, number, that element, you know, that missing piece of a puzzle where it's not about you. You know, you also need to care for others,
mm-hmm.
you know? So maybe, you know, if I always think about, oh, this, you know, wear your mask first, I'd be like, how about you change that instead of telling people, you know, like, you know, make sure throw a mask, you know, hand out the mask to everybody as you wear your mask. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, toss out the mask as you put yours on. Because, you know, you need the pilot alive. So what if he doesn't manage to reach the mask? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's so many things happening at one particular time. But I'm seeing this kind of nice marketing of feel-good concepts that are making people more individualistic and go into more of a myself, me, myself, and I mode. And they'll tell you, well, you know, I have to take care of myself first. You know, I have to put on the mask first. And I'm like, that's what happens when there's a fuel shortage, so-called shortage. And you fill up everything because that's your idea of putting on the mask. You know, yeah. You take it overboard.
Yeah. And it goes, people instantly go to like fear, right? So become so much fear, you know, takes over the brain and logic of like, oh my God, I'm going to be left out. I'm not going to have something. So I need to do this, the gas, the toilet paper, all of those things. But, you know, I think about, you know, I've been reading a lot of stuff about how, you know, we see people all the time and we make judgments about how they're doing and they're smiling and we think that they're okay. And then all of a sudden something happens and we realize that they might not be okay. And that's kind of, you know, what I wanted to also talk about in this is that, you know, we may think people are doing well in terms of their mental health, but a lot of people really are not. And that's what, you know, it's really important to check in on people, because if you do kind of get past the surface, you're going to see that there are people that are struggling. And those are the people that we need to especially keep our eye on. And that it's not, you know, a specific for any population. But I think about, you know, kids having a tough time, people with social isolation having a tough time, geographical isolation. So it's really important for us to, you know, obviously take care of ourselves, but we also need to take care of others. And you bring up a lot of really good points, Faith, about, you know, the messaging that's around take care of yourself, take care of yourself, take care of yourself. But, you know, there's going to come a time, many times in everyone's life, throughout their lives, where you're going to need other people. And it's important to have an awareness outside of yourself. And that's why I thought, you know, it would be good for us to talk about this today, because, you know, everybody's kind of been in this hunkered down mode of taking care of yourself. And, but a lot of people have also realized, like, I need other people for food, shelter, you know, mental health support. So you know, it's an important agreement that we need to, you know, continually think about. And I think about the people in my neighborhood. You know, I've been working from home since last year, and I end up, you know, I see my neighbors more. I talk to my neighbors, and I realize there are some people that are not doing well. And had I not started to pay attention or to reach out, I wouldn't have known that. And so, you know, ultimately, we all are connected in some way. And so it's just important to keep those kinds of things in mind, to reach out and to check in on people.
Literally, Penny, we're all connected. I really, you know, sometimes I just look at the way things play out and I'm just like, do you know what you're doing to somebody else, you're actually just doing to yourself? Like, this is science. Because yeah, we're really all connected. And, you know, we don't have to break it down, you know, to the last denominator. But like you said, we're all connected. And you can't do everything by yourself. You don't know everything about the body chemistry. You need maybe somebody to help you, you know, tell you, you know, this is high, low hemoglobin, you know. You don't know everything. We know a lot. We know how our body works. We know how it feels. But like you're saying, Penny, you don't know everything. But also, I understand why, like you said, you can look at people have been taught to pretend. You know, they've been taught if you don't smile, you're not a team player, you're not customer friendly. And this is what I have talked about, like for many years, I've been like, it's okay for her not to smile today. It is okay for her not to smile today and for you not to judge her like she's not being a friendly colleague. It's not, it's human for her to have a bad day. And sometimes it's not even a bad day. It's just maybe sometimes she's in deep thought or she's just having a balanced day. You know, who smiles 24/7? It's not natural.
Yeah.
So we are creating this unnatural human emotions, you know, when somebody gets angry, you know, people want to talk about it for days. Oh my God, did you see how she lost it? I'm like, she didn't lose it. She just expressed her anger in the way something was going about. She didn't yell at you. She just expressed herself. It's an emotion that is given to us by God to express. Now, she didn't insult anybody. She didn't throw anything in the air. She just expressed an emotion in a bit firm way. And because you're not supposed to express certain emotions, people do not express those emotions. And then what happens is it boils inside. And then it shows up in illness, disease, all these kind of things. I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I know people who do homeopathic medicine, all these things. And they will tell you what you don't deal with will show up in different parts of your body. And I've, you know, I've worked extensively with psychosomatic symptoms, you know, so I also know that. That's when I am well equipped. So I know that you can have a toothache and it has nothing to do with the cavity or your teeth. So my thing is, like you're saying with your neighbors, Penny, it also takes you, I think you've been really attentive because I'm telling you, there are people who will cannot even identify somebody who's struggling. Even with red eyes, they don't see it. I'm like, you don't see the pain in her eyes? And they're like, no, I think it's just the sun. And then one time I said that and the lady just boohooed.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was not the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So you also at a different, I'm not, you know, people who will be listening to this are like, oh, you know, Faith, you know, no, I'm serious. What Penny is identifying, people pass, they will not see it. I swear to you all. And people have been trained to have only the eye of that which makes them comfortable. Any discomfort, they actually, it's like they have blockers, because when you acknowledge it, it's like now you have a kind of responsibility. You know what I mean, Penny?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You can't just walk away and say, oh, you know, I was still on my way to the supermarket. There's something in you that tells you, okay, that shopping is going to wait 5 minutes. You know, And people don't want that. They're like, I'm on a clock. I'm busy, you know? So they don't want to acknowledge it, because acknowledging your friend or your neighbor or your colleagues are struggling means that you have a responsibility. You know it. You feel it in your bones. You feel it in your body. You feel it. You know that she's crying now. I can't just walk away, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why people don't react.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it makes people really uncomfortable. You've seen it, you know, even if they feel a sense of responsibility and don't do anything, people don't know what to do with other people if they're having emotions, right? I mean, not everybody, obviously, but you can see how people are just like, oh gosh, that person's crying. I have no idea what to do. I'm just going to pretend it's not happening. You know, and another thing that you really made me think about, Faith, is... is, you know, by us keeping an eye on other people, we're also maintaining that social construct, that social interaction with people that's really important for us as human beings, right? So we've talked before about how we are social creatures. We had to depend on one another when, you know, throughout evolution to survive. And, you know, withholding that social interaction, although a lot of people, you know, feel like they don't need it, it's critical to our health and well-being, right? Like, think about, you know, I always have to, I've been bringing this up lately with people that, you know, in prisons, solitary confinement or social isolation, you know, you're by yourself. There's a reason.
Penny, don't get me started. Don't get me started. Because people joke about this stuff. They're talking about lockdown. I'm like, stop affirming things.
Because
you really are in lockdown.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Because when I've been around the prisons, Penny, don't get me started. This is really, wait, you're going down some really, take it away.
Well, hold on. Hold that thought. And let me make my point, is that there's a reason that solitary confinement is punishment, because it drives people crazy. And the reason that I bring this up is because I really want people to understand the importance of social interaction, social dynamics. And this ties into checking on other people and other people checking on you. We are wired to do this, right? We are wired in our DNA to connect to people for social reasons. Now, that doesn't mean that when somebody comes to my door, I always want to go, because sometimes people drive me nuts. But what I'm saying is that for the health and well-being of yourself and for other people, we need to have social interaction. And so I just want to tie in the science part with the social interaction with, this is why solitary confinement is punishment, because it's going against everything in our DNA. So it is, that's kind of what I wanted to get.
And you're right. And this is a fact. And if you don't believe it, go to a prison, you know, this is really how they're punished. And also they're given time out to go and get fresh air. Prison is not a place where, you know, you just, you know, prison is prison. So they get like 30 minutes, go out, get some fresh air, and then go back to your, you know, to your cell, whatever. So what Penny's saying is, why people, you don't go to prison, you know, on vacation. Okay. And then the second thing is also the solitary confinement. It's there to also break you down or to punish you. Okay. And it's the same thing with young children. They're taken to detention so that they think about their life until they remember they don't like it. You know, they're detained. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that, actually, for children. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, because these are children, and I don't like that idea of, you know, I'm like, you know, you're calling it detention, you're detaining them. This is like, you're thinking like a prison. Don't do that with children, because when you've been around this, you understand what's happening. You see things differently. And so you're making such an important point if people only understand it.
Yeah.
Because people choose to hear what they hear. And I hope they really hear what you're saying, because it's important that they hear and then they watch how they're living their life and modeling their life. Some people like to be like by themselves. I get it. If you've done that for 10 years, you know, you have your routines, read your book, go for walks, do what you do. Mm-hmm. That's just who you are. But if you have been a social person And now you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the hammer coming down on you. And don't mm-hmm. fool yourself that this is nothing.
Yeah, it is really important to maintain that sense of, you know, community and social interaction. And we've seen studies in the past year where, you know, people, especially elderly people that are socially isolated, geographically isolated, you know, they've had a steep decline in their mental health and their physical well-being. And this is actually not just, you know, related to, you know, elderly folk, but, you know, people across the board. And so that's why I just kind of wanted to tie in the whole, you know, it's going against our biology, we're social beings. Now let's talk about being social beings. That doesn't mean that Faith is like, you know, going to every single house in her area and like, hey, I'm Faith, let's hang out today. It just means, you know, a social interaction that you are, you know, that you feel, you know, is not too much and is not too little. And of course, there's a whole continuum of what this, you know, can really entail. But I think, you know, what Faith and I are really trying to get across is that being social benefits the recipient and the giver. And, you know, this is wired into us, and this is something that can contribute negatively or positively to your mental health and well-being. And it looks like Shaz joined us. Hey, Shaz.
Hey, Penny. How are you? Hey, Faithy.
Hey, Shaz. What's up?
Great.
Can you guys hear me?
We yep. can. You sound loud and clear.
It's because I'm in the bathroom because of the kids. So that's probably why. I needed to just to be honest.
Got it.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's totally fine. That's real life.
Really like the real life. So
yeah.
Anyway.
We have been having such a great conversation. You know, we're talking about the importance of checking in on others and just the parameters of kind of, you know, what does that look like and what doesn't that look like? And we recently just finished our conversation about, you know, we are wired. It's in our DNA. Mm. We survived by being social creatures. We depended on one another for all of these things to continue to evolve and survive. And so, you know, not having that connection to people really goes against our physical and mental well-being. And of course, that connection could look differently. It doesn't mean that you're socializing through the entire neighborhood all day long, every single day. But no, you know, it's critical for people to maintain a connection with people, even if it's something simple as saying hi, or, you know, somebody walking by the house with their dog and stopping. But, you know, this all contributes to the physical and mental well-being of our community.
Yeah, it is true though. And it is really important because sometimes when you see the neighbors here around us, it's just like, okay, maybe you don't know them, but sometimes, you know, like if you're doing your garden things or you're cleaning or whatever, you're cleaning the car, you know, you see the kids just, you know, passing by the, you know, from school, or, you know, like an older lady coming by, you know, walking with their dogs, you know, and then when they just smile to you, or just, you know, like maybe they don't say hi, but just the way they smile to you, you know, that means that, you know, they're like kind of they're kind of like trying to tell you, hey, what's up, you know? And it is really important because I have also seen like some of the people around here, maybe it's neighbors, maybe within like 3 or 4 houses away, and you don't really get to see them that much, but you see the kids, you see their kids and everything. And actually the funny part is like now we have this agreement, and I saw this neighbor, they live like I think 2 houses from her, and the kids were out, it was last weekend, and I was doing some gardening, like it's towards the street, and the thing is that I saw the mom and the, you know, and the kids, like there was a girl and boy, they were playing, they were roller skating, you know, and she was, and you could see like the mom was standing there with the, you know, with the phone. I think she was trying to like, I don't know, just to record it or put it on Facebook or I don't know. And the kids saw me, but it also, the thing is that like the mom, she saw me and she looked, but she didn't say anything. And I was kind of like, I looked a couple of times up because I could see, and then like, you know, the, you know, sometimes the kids, they don't really think about it, but I think the kids, they learn from, you know, from the parents, how social they are and how they're supposed to react with, you know, other people. So, So I was kind of like, And then I looked up because the kids were saying, "Mom, no, I cannot do this." And, you know, and I kind of like, you know, I found it kind of like funny. So I looked up and I smiled. And I could see, like, the mom, she was kind of like, sometimes she turned her head out, you know, turn around, and then she was looking, but she didn't say any word. She didn't even, like, smile. I was like, wow. And the kids, they look actually like the mom. And I was like, if you're like that, then you can imagine how your kids were, you know, were grow up, and then they will be like the parents. If you know, like, what I'm, you know, headed to, like, it's just that,
yeah,
having this, you know, contact with people, being social, being like outgoing, it really comes from, I think, like, it comes from your childhood, because I don't just think that it just comes like that. I mean, this is what, something that you teach your kids, right? And to be honest with you, I don't see these people so much, but even though they, you know, they live like a couple, I mean, just 2-3 houses away. But their kid, I mean, those kids, they actually play with, or it will be the left side of the neighbors, I mean, from our side. And they have 2 kids, so they do see them. But I would say they would, sorry if I say this, but we would say this over here, like, they were just like so typical Danish people, like so close, so like not open, you know. And then if you compare it to our other neighbors that we have here just next to us, they're so much different. And, you know, the kids will say hi, you know, even, you know, the husband and the wife, and, you know, we don't even, like, we'll see them, but it's not so much, we see them that often. But after a while, even though, you know, you haven't, you know, maybe, you know, saw, I mean, seen them like maybe for a couple of weeks, but when you actually, I mean, when we see each other, we can just, it was just like we saw each other yesterday. We could just, you know, stand outside and, you know, try to, you know, have a conversation. So how is it going? You know, I mean, like, you know, the talk would just come automatically. But that thing was so like, I was like, wow, you know, but it was so obvious to see that the kids were like the mom. I mean, it was, and I was like, wow. And of course I didn't take the approach either to say hi, but at least I smiled. And I could just say, like, she was looking like, I was like, wow. So it's also, you know, it's, I think it's something that, you know, it's for her children. They would just, you know, you could tell that they will grow like, you know, the parents. So I also think it's very, you know, it actually comes from your childhood and how you have been taught from home, from when you were kids and, you know, to you grow up, how you have to, you know, how you have to be social and how you have to interact with people.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree with you, Sha. I was just remembering. I was just remembering. You know, one of my. I think I've said this like 1,000 times on all of our shows. I know you guys are probably bored of this, but it was just reminding me. Remember when I told you once, when class, we were young kids, and when primary school, we're in class, and we had all been naughty that day during sports, and we were kind of begging our teacher not to tell our parents, and she was like, "I don't need to tell your parents anything. I met your parents when I met you all," and she said, "When you meet the children, you meet the parents." I never forgot that. And you're right. You know, you don't have to meet people's parents. You can just see the children, you know, sometimes. Exactly. And of course, sometimes, you know, children also have some questionable parents and they've done everything not to be like their parents. So we always have to leave room for that. You know what I mean? But you're right. You know, it's learned behavior. You learn a lot from home. A lot. A lot. Verbal and nonverbal. Yeah. But it's unfortunate, you know, whether she smiles or says hello. You know, one of my aunties used to say, you know, Faith, people cannot give you what they don't have. She said, stop expecting things from everybody. It's that people just don't have it to give. So she doesn't have a smile to give.
Yeah, exactly.
And she said, if you don't have it in you, you cannot give it. You know, it's also when people do things that are not very, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever you do, it's because it's in you. Otherwise, if it's not in you, it can never come out. You can never remove something that is not in you. You know, my auntie used to say, you know, I remember once we would defend people and say, well, you know, she didn't mean it that way. My auntie used to say, hey, pay attention. If it's not in her, then it cannot come out. everything that comes out from you is in you. So maybe it was latent and something triggered it, but it was in her. Latent, but now it's out. So it is that person, you know. So she didn't have a smile to give. That I just use sometimes, you know, sometimes these people who are much older than you, they're so wise. You know, I just had to listen to them sometimes blindly because they used to say things and over, when you see it over and over, you start to realize actually they really know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Because if you're happy, automatically you'll smile. You can't even help yourself. You'll just do it. It's like when you hit somebody, you're like, oops. You don't think about, oh, I'm about to say oops. You know, your body just said, oh, oops, sorry. You know? But some people can just knock you and walk past. I giggle at that stuff. I'm like, wow. You know, so it's unfortunate. But again, it's just who she is. And hopefully her children will think about it when they're older and actually wonder whether that was the right way.
You're right. And I'm also seeing, you know, like the kids from, you know, I mean, like the kids from my son's class, you know, the classmates that she has, I mean, that he has. And I can see, you know, like sometimes, you know, there's one of the classmates, he always comes like in the morning and, you know, like he actually knocks on the door. He doesn't even, you know, use the bell because the mom already told, like, Martinez, you know, that, you know, they have a little kid or maybe they're asleep. So, but they're like such a funny people. And the kid, like, the, you know, their son, he's like the parents. And so, and he always comes, you know, like in the morning, he, you know, and like he, you know, like around like 7:40, and he comes and knock on the door. And so he's like, hey, Nicholas, are you ready? So they go to school together. So sometimes, you know, when I open the door, I just start, you know, talking to him. And you can really see that he has it from his parents. So, and so it's true what you're saying, you know, everything comes like, I mean, from your home, you know, from your parents. I mean, how you're raised, how you behave, how you respect people. Actually, I would be embarrassed if my kids were just by like standing like that, you know, and don't say anything. I would be like, okay, then I haven't done, there is something that I haven't done right as a parent. So I don't know. But I was just looking at this lady. And you know what? The funny part is that it's not the first time they have seen me, because they have seen me when I have been picking up her, you know, youngest son from the daycare. So, and I can see they call it like the private street, just like around the corner, when I can see the kids playing. And I can also see sometimes the parents are out playing like basketball, whatever, their private street. And they can see I'm coming. I'm just like, and I sometimes I look up and was like, they do look up, but they don't say anything. Like, we don't even know you live here. I'm just like, but I just think they're, unfortunately, they're just those kind of type of people. Maybe, you know, they're not open. They're like in their own little box and that's it. I mean, they like that kind of society. And, you know, and then you can imagine maybe, you know, how do they work? Work environment do they work in? You know, what is it that they, you know, teach their kids, you know?
And then you have, you know, the people that are the complete opposite, you know, where you like, I've had this too, especially being from home. I've learned a lot about my neighborhood. You know, I'll have people that if I just go outside my house, they're like, hey, ma! And I'm just like, whoa, you know, and it could be every single time that they see me. And
so, it's, you know, true.
It is. And so it's really a continuum from, you know, no social interaction to, you know, social interaction all the time. And I find myself like, I know it's important to check in on this person and we talk and there's all the stuff that goes on, but it can be too much. And, you know, I find myself like, oh, did they just go in the house? Okay, I'm going to go outside because
it's too much. You know, it's like they hear you open the window, the door, and they're speed of light. I'm so glad
I know.
I'm the only one.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you don't want to be rude, but it's really tough. And so, you know, for those of you that are listening to this, just know that obviously, you know, you've probably experienced in your own life that it's a continuum of, you know, you might say hi to somebody 50 times and they might not say hi to you 50 times. And you might have the complete opposite. But yeah, it's really interesting when you think about, we're wired for social interaction, you know, genetically, but some people go completely against that, don't want it. And some people need that. And you know, it is really comical. And, you know, it's just interesting when you think about the characters that are around you and their different needs and requirements. And, you know, it's challenging because if people are still, a lot of people are still working from home. So now that they feel comfortable, it's just this constant interaction.
But you know, Penny, they don't understand you're working from home. They think you got time. Sometimes, you know,
they do.
You're in your meetings and they're just looking, they're just talking. I'm like, you know, this yeah. computer is not on just because it wants to be on.
Yeah, I know.
But I think you know, they're not used to this whole COVID concept. And I'm thinking to myself that this is really, you'll have to know that even though we're in the garden with our computer and all our paperwork, we're working.
I think it's, but some of these people, you know, they're totally aware of that, but they have a really strong need to socially interact. And so it's just, it's interesting balancing the two, because I think, you know, wherever we live, we have, you know, one of everything, right? Of no social interaction, a lot of social interaction, everything in between. So it can be challenging to balance all of that. And definitely, you know, think about yourself. Like, there are days I don't want to talk to anybody, like, stay away from me, I don't want to deal with anything. And then there are days I'm like, hey, how you doing? So it's just kind of all over the place with how you feel about things, you know, depending on your mood. And then it's also the same with others, but sometimes those others are always wanting to interact. So it's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. They have this, because seriously, sometimes you're just looking, like, you know, but you know, you give the little finger and they take the whole arm.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're right, it has a sense of you know, you also find it comical because, like you said, maybe they know, but they're still, because they always start by saying, I didn't mean to bother you, and then they go on and bother you, you know.
Yeah. And it's hard,
I didn't mean,
you know,
to interrupt.
Yeah, if it's somebody that's more kind of by themselves, or you know, it's just, it's challenging. And it's challenging, but it's a great conversation, because, you know, I think we can all identify with, even though we have a lot of different experiences amongst us, we have a lot of similarities with the things that we experience in our day-to-day life. So,
and see, everybody, this is across all geographical lines. We're up here in Scandinavia. We're talking about the same things happening in Oregon. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't need
people can drive you nuts. People can hide out. Yeah. it is really very interesting. But I guess that just shows the variability with the with social interaction, with people needing none to, you know, 24/7. So, so it's very interesting.
But I'm also thinking what you just mentioned, that, you know, with the COVID, I also think if some people, you know, there is people out there that maybe they don't have the most social people in their life, or they're not so socialized, or, you know, they're not so outgoing. And regardless, like, you know, I mean, maybe before the COVID, it was already, you know, maybe hard for them to get in contact with people. Maybe they didn't have so many friends, or, you know, or family or whatever. And so under this COVID, it's even harder for them to be social, you know, with, like, maybe if they have like one or two friends, or maybe they have this, I don't know, uncle or whatever family members they have, you know. I mean, I think for those people, it has really, like, I think it's hard for them. Or, you know, the COVID, like, since the COVID came, and I think for those people, I mean, if they don't know how to, how can you put it? Like, you know, if they're not so good with just, you know, do something for themselves, you know, like, go out, take a walk, you know, go for a walk, read a book, you know, what we talked also, you know, previous agreements, because then I think, you know, for those kind of people, it's, I think this COVID, even, you know, it took even harder on them. So it's so I think, unfortunately, that, you know, yeah, that maybe caused some other problems in their life. And then you see us, you know, because maybe we're different, you know, we are, of course, a little bit different, or, you know, our personality, I mean. But there is some people, you know, they're not very good of, you know, I mean, having contact with people, I mean, they're like, maybe, you know, they don't have so many people. I mean, maybe they're not so outgoing. I think that's my point. And so with the COVID and everything, or maybe if you work in a, you know, in an environment that, you know, that it's already, I don't know, it's already not very good. And you have to, you know, stay home and work from home.
Yeah, but there's also that socialization, Sha, you know, where people are taught not to be needy. So they mix sometimes, you know, the lines are so blurry that you can think that just reaching out to somebody makes you, you know, be needy. And I actually think the people like me and Penny are talking about, these are actually the brave ones, you know?
Yeah.
Because they can actually say, you know what, hey, I'm just going to do this today. You know, I'm going over Faith's hedge.
That's my point. That's my point.
And I'm talking, yeah. But there's some who they'll never do it. They'll just
Because we have some people at work, like they live alone, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know what to do." They got a depression because they were like, you know, we are used to come to work every day, and you used to do this and this. And suddenly everything was shut down. We couldn't do anything. I couldn't go, like, again, I couldn't go out partying. I couldn't go out with my friends. I couldn't be social like this. They don't know how to do things, you know, themselves, you know, like just you do you. Like, you know, I mean, you can go ahead and read a book. You can go ahead and, you know, make a good dinner for yourself. And you can go ahead and relax in your backyard or outside, read a book. You know, get a red glass of wine or whatever, get a Coke or, you know, get a cocktail, whatever. I mean, but those people, I mean, it was kind of like, it was weird for them. If you've been telling them these things, they'd be like, yeah, but, you know, usually I do this with my friend. I do this, you know, like always like in a crowd with 10 or 20 people. But now, I mean.
Yeah, but these are people who have codependency relationships, you know, and also, you know, we need that human interaction, like Penny said, but I think you also need to find a way where you can balance things, whereby, because I mean, you know, you have to find a way, you know, to balance it with or without, you know, one thing, you know, that, you know, we always say, oh, change is constant, change is constant. You know, we throw out all these fantastic phrases, but now here the opportunity has been presented to you. Here's change, embrace it. And nobody wants to embrace it, you see. So
yeah,
it's complicated. You know, the words that are thrown out there and the actions. I'm like, hey, you people said you love change. Here's change looking at you, knocking at its door, and you are running away from it. You know, you're repelled by it. Come on, adaptability. You know, all these things in the conferences that are talked about. Now it's here. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just have, you know, like a couple minutes left. So before we get cut off. So I think what we should do is, you know, do a wrap up and, you know, have our final closing remarks. And this has been a great discussion. It's really important. And I think we all can relate. So you guys want to kick it off and do a final closing remarks?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I also came in a little bit late. So I just wanted to say that I think definitely if you have kids, you need to, you know, teach your kids to be social, to be outgoing, you know, show the respect. And then, you know, if you see somebody, don't look like you want to kill them. I mean, you don't have to necessarily just say hi, but just smile, you know. At least, you know, show something in your impression of your face, especially if you have the neighbors around you, if you live in an apartment or you live in a penthouse or whatever. And then just be nice, you know. And that's my point. And, you know, yeah, so you can just go ahead, Fate, now.
If I could stop laughing. No, don't look at them like you want to kill them. Love it. I was going to say that, okay, you know, change is constant. Things are always going to change. Your work will change. The environment will change. The world, it's going to happen. So just prepare your mind to adapt and know that there's always someone out there to help you. But sometimes you have to be the one to make the first step. because they don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. You know, it is really important with the state of the world, with the chaos everywhere. You can see the similarities across the globe, as we've discussed, you know, with our own experiences. And I kind of wanted to bring it back to, we know it's important to take care of ourselves, right? We can't just be continually giving and giving and giving. And it can be challenging because sometimes people can ask a lot of us, or some of us are wired to, you know, maybe give more than receive. But what it's really important is to, you know, check in on others, especially those that probably don't have maybe a larger social circle. They might not want it, but there are people out there that are in need of human connection for their physical and mental well-being. And we also benefit, you know, with our physical and mental well-being when we do check on others. But to bring it kind of back is that, you know, it's a balance, right? We have to, you know, give enough where we're not draining our own battery, because it's important for us to recharge, but it's also important for us to give back. And it's kind of this cycle, right? Where we recharge, give a little bit back, recharge, give a little bit back. So everything is a balance. And that, you know, whether it's relationships or work or sleep or exercise or diet, it's all about balance, right? So I just wanted people to kind of think about that in a little bit different perspective, to not just give and give and give, or take and take and take, but have a balance of both. And so,
yeah. And I just want to say one more thing, careful with this for real, and don't take all the toilet paper and the gas. That also means caring for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Balance, it's important to do
balance,
it. Yeah.
Balance, yeah. Moderation.
Balance. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. We were talking about that, Shaz, before you joined. Yeah.
Because when you care for others, you don't take everything and hoard it for yourself. You know?
Exactly.
So care for others. Yeah.
Exactly.
And don't move from fear. There's enough for everybody. For real people, there is enough.
Right.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you, Shaz.
Yes, this has been a great show.
Thank you, you guys.
And thank you so much for all of the discussion. I always love talking with you guys all the time. And next week, our next episode is to be determined. It's in the works, and we'll let you know about that. But thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you again. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.